Blessing. We're celebrating new birth this morning. More importantly than just new birth, we're celebrating spiritual new birth. You see, when we celebrate the physical birth, that body's not going to live forever. The form and the shape that these two young men are in isn't going to exist like that forever. But both Kalen and Trey are going to live forever because they've been born again by the Spirit of God as they trusted Jesus Christ to be their Savior. I want us to think for a few minutes this morning about some of the benefits of being a child of God. What are some of the great things? Now, I want to tell you to start with, we're not going to cover it all. I don't have time. You can't sit that long. And I don't know all of them. I'm still experiencing. But as we think about the benefits of being a child of God, I hope you found your place found the text in the scripture, but I want to start with a couple other verses before I get there. These are familiar to you. It says in John 3:16, 17, and 18, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world through him, that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not" what? "Is not condemned." Paul wrote about that in Romans 8:1. He said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but who does not believe in him is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Well, we could spend 3 or 4 hours right there talking about the blessings and the benefits of being a child of God. The psalm writer says in Psalm 116:12, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me?" It sounds like the psalmist was getting a handle on just how much God was pouring into his life. Have you got that handle this morning? Have you got a hold of just how much God's been pouring into your life? Don't lose your grip on that. You say, "Well, I won't lose my grip." Well, sometimes we do. We get all sad-faced and down in the mouth and things look ugly around us. And when that's happening, we're losing our grip on some of the benefits of being a child of God. I sometimes think that people don't realize just what we have in Jesus Christ. I think that we should overflow with praise of thankfulness for all that we have in Jesus. We who are blessed enough to be able to live in a land where we have the freedom to get up in the morning and walk through the doors of a church building and assemble with others of like-minded people and like-hearted people to worship the living God. I think we ought to just be filled with praise that we have that opportunity. You know, there are millions of people in the world that you and I live in that cannot do that. Now, we say we know that, but I'm going to tell you, folks, I don't know what that's like. I try to imagine what it would be like if I lived somewhere where I was unable to get together with believers. And that thought just frightens me. And it frightens me because I know how much I depend on other believers to help keep me strong. How much I depend on other believers to help encourage me. How much I depend on other believers to keep reminding me about who Jesus is and what we have in Him. I know that when we've got nothing but God, we've got everything we need. I know that. But I also know that it's a whole lot easier when I can come alongside of Jim or Linda or some of you other folks and have you just smile at me and let me see the love of Jesus coming through your life. Have you encouraged me with your words? Have you encouraged me just by reaching out your hand to touch? Have you encouraged me by coming together so that I know that you know who He is? We ought to erupt with praise and thanksgiving. We should overflow with praise and thankfulness. We who have the opportunity to tell other people about Jesus Christ without the fear of getting shot or beheaded. I don't know what it's like to live somewhere where my very life is threatened if I dare mention the name of Jesus publicly. The only thing that happens in our land is people look at you funny, or they try to embarrass you. And so we shut down. Really? Nobody's threatening to kill you because you said Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His holy name. Nobody's threatening to kill you if you say, "Do you know that Jesus loves you today?" But there are places in our world where that threat exists today. What shall I render to the Lord for all of His benefits to me? Let's take a few minutes and just think of some of the benefits of being a child of God. Let's think about the benefit of love. We should all agree that the greatest love that we could possibly have or experience is that love that God pours out into our lives through Jesus Christ. You got that? There's no greater love than the love that God pours out through Jesus Christ into our lives. John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." And I want to remind you that that's exactly what Jesus did. Sue, I love you. I'd like to think if you were about to be shot, I'd step in front of that bullet. I just don't know. I might dive behind this thing instead. You know? But Jesus laid down His life for me. I have learned a lot of things in my life, not nearly as many as I should, because I'm slow. And it takes me a few years to catch up with where I ought to be. But I've learned a lot of things in my life. And there are some things that I know. But do you know what? Richard, the most important thing that I know and the most important thing that I will ever know comes in the words of what we call a kid's song. And it's three little words. Jesus loves me. There's nothing more important in all of God's creation for me to know and for you to know than the fact that Jesus loves you. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." How does God show me that he loves me? Well, while I hated God, he let his son die for me. You say, "Well, preacher, I never hated God." Were you serving him? How do I know you weren't serving him? Can't serve him who you can't live with. Can't serve him who you don't know. And without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't know God. You know a little bit about him. You know a little bit about him. But while we were sinners, while we were offending God, while we were turned away from God, while we were saying, "I'm more important than God." You know, that's what got Lucifer kicked out of heaven. While we were saying, "I'm more important than God," he says, "Okay, I love you. I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to send my son to die for you." Now, the second most important thing that I know is that no matter what my earthly situation or circumstances are, no matter what my attitude is, no matter where I've been, no matter what I'm doing, nothing on planet Earth can change how much God loves me. Nothing. Which means that God cannot love you more tomorrow than he loves you today. You know, we get all mushy in our spousal relationships and we say, "Yes, I love you more today than I've ever loved you before." And while that ought to be true of us, because we grow together and we learn how to love more and we're filled more with God's love as his children, while that ought to be true with us, God can't love me any more tomorrow than he loved me today. He can't love me any more than he did the day that he allowed Jesus to pick up my filthy sin and die. That excites me, in case you haven't caught that yet. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, 38 and 39, "For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height or depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." No matter what. Nothing can separate us from God's love. I might try to push it away, but he's going to keep pouring it on. I might try to run from it, and he's going to keep pouring it on. We'll be talking about old Jonah again tonight. He tried to run from God, and he tried so hard to run, he had them throw him in the sea. He knew that would get him away from God once and for all. And God loved him so much, he had a big fish down there to swallow him up and catch him. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. No matter who you are or what you do, Jesus loves you. Ain't that simple? The benefit of love and the benefit of grace. Grace. That's God blessing us with what we could never deserve. You know, I could never deserve to walk on streets of pure gold. I could never deserve to be in the presence of Jehovah God, the one who said, let there be, and it was. The one who said to Moses, I am. I'm the God that makes things happen. I could never deserve to be invited in to be a part of his family, to have him reach out and say, I'm going to adopt you. I'm going to make you mine for eternity. I could never deserve any of that, but grace pours it on. God's riches at Christ's expense. In Titus 2:11 it says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Notice it doesn't say to all people, it says for all people. It's available for all who will receive, but it's not automatically yours just because God's provided it. Grace begins, brings salvation in Jesus Christ, and without grace you cannot be saved, folks. Grace is for all people who will receive it as a gift. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and that is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Amen. You like gifts? You like to get presents, unwrap them, have them be a part of your life? God's got the greatest gift, the greatest present that you could ever possibly receive in the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And all you have to do is receive it. Accept it. Paul writes in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the what? Come on, the what? Free gift. The free gift from who? Is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. His grace is sufficient for all of my need. What do you need today? The grace of God's got it covered. What did you need yesterday? It was because of the grace of God you made it through it. You woke up this morning? It was the grace of God that kept that heart beating and those lungs working and that blood flowing that caused the mind to become at whatever level of alertness it became. It's the grace of God. And we have the benefit of mercy. And mercy is a little bit different than grace. Because grace is us being able to receive that which we could never deserve. Mercy is God protecting us and withholding what we do deserve. We deserve eternity in hell, ladies and gentlemen. We are sinners who, without Jesus Christ, do life our way instead of God's way. God's mercy is the only thing that keeps me out of hell. God's mercy is the only thing that holds his wrath back away from me. God's mercy is the only thing that keeps Satan and all of his demons at bay. Oh, for mercy. Titus 3:5 says, He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. He saved us because He is merciful. He saved us because He is merciful, not because of the righteousness that we have done. You know, one of the things that is absolutely certain, unless Jesus comes first while you're still breathing, every one of us in this place is going to face this thing called death. Every one of them. And some people face death with fear and trembling. And they do that because they do not have a personal love relationship with Jesus Christ. And I can't think of anything worse than facing death and being scared. We don't like to be scared of anything. Some of us are scared of shots, needles, and IVs. From the looks on some of your faces, I know who some of those are. But to be dying and to know I'm dying and to be in fear because I'm dying. What a horrible place to be. But yet others face death with peace and assurance. And so we know that you don't have to face death with fear and trembling, because not everybody does. Those that face death with peace and assurance is because God's mercy has removed the penalty of my sin that Jesus Christ took on Him, His own self. And so we shout, praise the Lord. Dottie Rambo wrote a song years ago, and it says, it's titled, He Looked Beyond My Fault and Saw My Need. I do not know, she said, just why He loved me so. But He looked beyond my fault and saw all my need. I don't know why He loved me so. In my sin, in my separation from Him, in my hard-headedness, in my meanness, in my self-centeredness. I do not know why He loved me so, but He was able to see past my sin and my self-centeredness and my ungodliness and my hatefulness and everything else that I was. He saw clear through all of that and saw that I needed to be saved. That's mercy. And we have the benefit of the abiding Spirit of God. John, 1 John 4:13 says, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. We know that we are God's, and we know that he is ours, because when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we come to God through Jesus Christ. When we're born again, he says that the Holy Spirit comes from glory and dwells and abides within us. And ladies and gentlemen, that's not just this kind of knowing. That is experientially knowing the Spirit of God is within you. Not that we always allow him to be in control as we should, but we cannot deny, if we are born again, if Jesus is our Redeemer, we cannot deny the fact that the Spirit of God abides within us. Ephesians 1:13, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. When you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit then and there comes to take up residence in your life. And we have the benefit of forgiveness. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins. If we confess. When does he cleanse us from unrighteousness? When we confess our sins. By the way, this benefit of forgiveness is a two-way street. If we expect God's forgiveness of our sin, we must be willing to forgive those that sin against you. Now, wait a minute, preacher. I'm going to meddling now. Let me say it again. If we expect God's forgiveness in our lives, we must be willing to forgive those that sin against us. Now, I don't have time to get into that this morning. That's a two-day sermon. But just know, it's what God says. Then we have the benefit of eternal life. It's another one of those things that I can't quite picture yet. I'm trying. I'm getting more and more of it. John 11:25-26. Now, Lazarus had died and Jesus had showed up, and he was talking to Martha and Mary, and they weren't happy because Jesus took too long to get there and Lazarus died and all this stuff, you know, and they were telling him it was his fault and everything else was going on. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who believes, who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Thank you. Because if you don't, we need to talk. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What kind of life? Eternal life. Eternal means never never ending. Never ending. John 10, 27, 28, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. I give them never ending life." That's why we can face death of the body with peace and assurance instead of fear and trembling. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And Joshua, things were tough, as they often were for the Hebrew children, because of their disobedience. And Joshua looked out upon the crowd and he says, "And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord," hang on to that a minute. Hang on to that right there. "If it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord." He said, "Jim, you might think that serving God's the wrong thing to do. George, you might think that serving God brings destruction. Mary, you might think that serving God is evil. And if you think that, then you should choose who you're going to serve. Whether it's the gods of your fathers in the region beyond the river, or maybe you want to serve the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, that's okay with me if you want to do that. That's your freedom and your choice if you want to do that. But I'm going to tell you, for this old boy and his family, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve Jehovah, Yahweh, Yeshua, King Jesus shall be our King. Who are you going to serve? Who are you serving? Self? Church? People? Unknown gods? Or King Jesus? Can't be both ways. You can't serve God and stuff at the same time. But serving God, enough stuff comes along to meet your need, and then some. Who are you going to serve? Father, what a joy to be in your house today. What a joy to be reminded of the benefits of being a child of God, or at least some of those benefits. What a joy to see these young men baptized into the kingdom of God. That symbol, that picture of in their lives of dying with Christ and being resurrected in the newness of life in Jesus Christ. That symbol of the new birth that you've already given them. What a joy to share that celebration with them today. What a joy for us to be able to sing praises to you. What a joy to meet with your children, to be a part of this family. But God, even with all of that, would you pierce deep into our hearts and reveal the areas where we're not serving you, but you desire it. And would you, by the Holy Spirit, call us to yield that part of our life to you today? And if there's one or two in this place today that has not yet accepted Jesus Christ as his or her Savior, God, I know that the Holy Spirit is working right now to call those people, to convict them of their sin, and to convince them of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Would you bar the enemy from this place as you call all of us into a closer relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.